great thing to be in the house of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord at this time. Amen. Let us go and take a look now in the Old Testament, and we'll take a look at this psalm that was written by Moses, Psalm number 91, and we'll be reading from the King James translation, Psalms 91. And as I mentioned, these are from a series of psalms from what are a portion of the Old Testament that was known as the Song of Moses. And that's important because I want you to understand these are things that have been known in the minds of the saints all the way back from the time of Moses. Not just a New Testament idea, what we're going to look at here this morning. This is the word the Lord has given. Amen, for St. Timothy. So we'll start first with Psalms 91, starting at verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We have read Psalm 91 in its entirety. Now a few verses from the New Testament text in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. We find these words, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should speak among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. We have read selected verses in Ephesians 3. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Let us use for a topic today. We just want to talk just a little bit about mastery of the mystery. Let us have a word of prayer. Everlasting God, our Father, we bless you. We praise you, Father. We just thank you for your holy word. Yeah. Father, we thank you that you let us all be here today in this place, Father, that we're assembled here on holy ground. Oh, God, we're obscure to the world. It doesn't know who we are. They don't know our purpose. They think we're kind of a little off kilter, God, because we decide that we want to come into the house of prayer and worship you today. And their minds are blinded. They do not see the reason and the purpose why we would be here. Otherwise, they would join us. But this morning, God, we thank you that you woke us up. You opened up our blinded eyes that we might see the glory of your Son. In spite of every circumstance that's going on in the world, every circumstance going on in our city, oh God, and every circumstance going on, Lord, all around us in the unseen world, the spirit world, Father, the demons hate the fact that we have come to worship you and give you praise. But Father, we know that you have blessed us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, Father, we just thank you for the motivation you've given us to assemble here in the house of worship, to worship you this morning, for your name is excellent in all the heavens and in all the earth. We give you all the praise right now. We give you the honor and the glory. We just thank you, Father, for open up our eyes so that we can see, God, that you are excellent and worthy to be praised. And Father, we pray right now that you bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might hear a word from on high that will energize us throughout this week as we go back out into the world with those who do not know who we are, Father, that cannot understand the reason why we serve a true and living God. And we just bless you. We thank you. We give you praise. Anoint the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that it might go forth among your people, God, and bless them in the way they need a blessing. We ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord right now. Thank the Lord for all that he has already done. Amen. Thank you right now, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we want to talk just a little bit this morning about mastery of the mystery. Now, when we hear the word mystery, it takes our minds in different ways, because of the fact that we have been in a world that thinks of a mystery one way, and they don't think of it the way that the scripture teaches that we should think of about it. They think of a mystery as like a great whodunit, like we don't know who did it, and it's something that's concealed that we never know. We don't understand. It's kind of like some of the things that we have seen when we look at Alfred Hitchcock and different kinds of stuff like that, where there's some hidden thing, and they might even go off and leave you in suspense. And we call it a suspense and a thriller. And so we're not talking about that kind of thing here this morning. That's kind of in opposition to the type of mystery that you and I are looking at here today. We are the products of the mystery of God. It is the mystery of the gospel that has caused you and I, who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be born again. See, even when Jesus confronted Nicodemus, he came to him by night in John chapter 3. He says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, because no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. There was some mystery in the acts of Jesus Christ. When he came and healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, raised the dead, he did spectacular things that they knew God has to be involved in this. Nicodemus said, nobody can do that except God be with you. You know, he was not willing to say you are God, but he said God must be with you. You see, and what did Jesus tell him? He told him that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. See, he said don't go trip on this now, Nicodemus. And then Nicodemus went straight to the flesh, of course. So how can a man be born when he is old? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? You know, you're thinking in the flesh, Nicodemus. You're not thinking in the spirit. You don't have the mind of the spirit guiding you and leading you. He says, are you the teacher? It was kind of almost like a little bit of sarcasm there. You're supposed to be the teacher of Israel and you don't get this? You know, he says that as the wind listeth and you hear the sound thereof, he said, just like the wind blows, you hear the sound, but you don't know where it came from. Neither do you know where it is going. It's a mystery to you how that works. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is that gift given to everyone who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, he went on to tell him the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This was the living Christ speaking these words. Hadn't been crucified yet. hadn't been lifted up on the cross between heaven and earth yet. But he spoke prophetically in John 3:16 and says, for God so loved the world that he gave, in the past tense, his holy son. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever thought about that? That this was Jesus speaking of something that would happen in the future, a prophecy that had been determined in the Godhead before the world began. So that's why he said it in the past tense. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus is really scratching his head here now. He's trying to get it. But we know that there was unparalleled religious confusion at that time. You know what? There's unparalleled religious confusion right now. Unparalleled religious confusion is the devil's system of keeping people locked into false systems that cannot save. Back then, in those days, they had a bunch of different denominations of Jews. There were Essenes, Hasidians, there were Sadducees, Pharisees, and Zealots. They had all their little groups, just like we got the Presbyterians, the Catholics, the Baptists, and we could go on, talking about Christ now. So there was unparalleled religious confusion at the time Jesus Christ came the first time, just like there is now. And then in addition to that, you also have an increasingly overwhelmingly secular denial that goes on all the time, just like it was back then. The Romans didn't believe in any of those things, but they would tolerate all of them. They were trying to be politically correct. Does that sound like somebody you know? Who were going to accept the Muslims, the Hindus, the Baptists, the Buddhists, and the whoever, they don't care. They don't believe in any of it. They think it's all hogwash and poppycock. You know, but we're going to put up with it all and try to make sure everybody's happy and walk on every fence and do everything we can to try to satisfy everybody to keep them under control. Yeah. You know, even in some of the foreign cultures, they believe that religion is the opiated of the people. It was said by Stalin, I think it was. You know, just give them their religion, leave them alone, let them do their little thing, and then go ahead and let us rape and pillage them out of all the money we can get from them. That's all we're interested in is taxes. See, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So the government has got a whole other thing in mind. That's why they want to accept the homosexuals, the lesbians, the gay, and the transgendered, and they want to accept whoever's doing whatever. Just keep the votes and the money flowing, and we're happy. You want to be religious? Go ahead. Be any old religious thing you want to be. Doesn't make us any difference. Just let the money flow, you see. And don't create trouble. So this is the same way it was at the time when Jesus came the first time. It was a time of unparalleled religious confusion. And we know the Bible tells us God is not the author of confusion. You know, but of peace. He gives peace to his people, even in the midst of the storm. See? And so it was not much different. You had all these factions coming. They were warring with one another. And meanwhile, they were driving people away from the truth. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees and the Jews, he told them, you travel the sea and the land to make one proselyte. And when you have done that, you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. In other words, you corrupt him deeply with your profane religion, and you don't have any idea who God is and what God is doing. You're on a completely different page. But you know what? God is still in motion, still doing everything. His schedule is accurate, and it's perfect. And there's always a remnant of people in every generation who know him and are tuned in to who God is. And Moses reveals it in Psalm 91 back in his time. Think about this, over 1600 years before the birth of Christ. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now we need to talk about that just a minute before we can get off that verse right there. The secret place, what does he mean? The word, it's going to be the word in the Hebrew, which is pronounced sather, and it means something that is concealed. Something that is basically cloaked in mystery, as we would say ourselves today. It's basically a covering. It could be a good or a bad thing. See, there could be some bad aspects of a covering, something that's cloaked. Basically, it's covert, we would say. You see, it's protected. And so he who dwells, now in this case, we have to use the word of the Most High, he says here. So we're in the secret place of the Most High, where there is no darkness, there is no sin, there's nothing but truth and righteousness. And so if we dwell, that means we live there. It doesn't mean we pop in and out or visit, that we dwell there. That means all the time we have a God consciousness about ourselves. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, Now, how do you know how close you are? Because you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, you got to be pretty close to be under the shadow. You can't go but so far to the left or the right, and the shadow won't be on you anymore. If you're standing behind somebody in their shadow, you got to be pretty close to stay under the shadow. You see? And that means they're in front of you, and the light is coming across them, and the shadow is falling on you. So he says, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. That means you live. Notice the two words, dwelleth and abide. We live and abide. In other words, we set up our dwelling right there in the presence of God. That means our activities reflect the glory of God. Our thoughts and our thought processes come from the truth of God. We walk with God. We walk by faith, not by sight. You can't even see because you have God in front of you. You're in the shadow. God is leading the way, you see. And that's why we need to walk by faith. He says here, notice this, that I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Whatever trouble's coming to me, I'm not too far from the Lord. The Lord is right there to smite whatever it is coming against me. He is my refuge and my fortress. If the righteous run in, the Bible says, you know, to the Lord, he's like a strong tower, the Proverbs say. And they're safe when they run into the Lord. See, he is my fortress, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. These are things set up in the world, some of those outside secular things that threaten our lives. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You see that? And he will basically, he will deliver you from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. This is that picture, like imagine Jesus saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. He was in tears, weeping over the city, saying, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood, but you would not. Kept running away. You wouldn't get under the wings and the coverage of God. See, like that mother hen covering her brood. You see, but he says here, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. See that? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. No matter what they're shooting around you, don't you be afraid. Trust God. Walk in him. Know that he covers you. He protects you. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. There's the threats of disease and all kinds of things that would trouble you if you weren't anchored in the Lord. See, you got to be anchored in the Lord. Even if they come, be anchored in the Lord. See, because some of these things are the things that come upon the world because of the condition of the world. But if you're anchored in the Lord, it doesn't make any difference. God has got your back. Whatever you go through, he's got your back. He can take you through. He says, neither for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, no matter what time of day or night, God is our protector. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. God protects you. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Keep watching. You'll see the people who don't acknowledge God stumble and fall. They'll fall away. You'll see them. You'll see judgment come up on them in their lifetime. You see that? Because they have not made the Lord their refuge. You see? He says, because, now the reason on the opposite, he gives the other side of it, verse 9, but because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. See? Now, so we've got the word dwelling, abiding, and habitation. See? We're going to inhabit the Lord's praise. The Lord inhabits his praise. When we praise him, he comes and inhabits the praise. You see that? So if we're constantly praising the Lord rather than bickering and complaining, the Lord is coming in to inhabit that praise. Amen. So it's a good thing. And the devil is angry. It drives him away. You know, you submit yourselves to the Lord and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You see that? And so all of this is protection. And Moses noticed that he was able to go through. Look at all that he went through. He was threatened at his birth before he was even born. A threat went out, an edict, destroy all the Hebrew male children. And he was saved by the midwives through the providence of God. From up on the birthstools, raised up in the palace, right up under the enemy. You see that? And brought through a whole life all the way up to the age of 40 when he smote an Egyptian and fled into exile for 40 years. God was still with him when he went in exile. And he's writing this psalm here. Just think about who writes the psalm. You see, and he knew God was protecting him. Next thing you know, the Lord appears to him in exile, in a burning bush. He told Moses, put off your shoes off your feet, Moses, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Oh, over here in exile? You know, no matter where you are, you can be in exile. God says the whole ground you're standing on is holy ground. I sanctify the ground for your sake. You might feel like you're in exile, cast out somewhere you don't belong. But the Lord says the ground you're standing on, if you belong to me, if I am your refuge, your dwelling place, if I am the one basically that you abide in, that you and your habitation is with me, it doesn't make a difference. I make the place you're standing on holy ground. Sanctify the whole area. You know why? Because the earth is the Lord's. I heard somebody read that this morning. And the fullness thereof. Yeah. Satan doesn't really own anything. So it doesn't make any difference where you are. The Lord can sanctify where you are. Amen. He sanctifies where you are because you dwell in him. Yeah. You see that? Now notice this. He says, you have made the Lord your habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For why? Now think about this one. Verse 11. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Now there's a whole unseen force that God has, which is twice as big as the enemies that Satan has working against you. One third of the heavenly hosts fell with the devil. Two thirds are still with the Lord. There was a finite number of angels. We don't know how many. But it's a massive number that cannot be numbered by human calculations. But two thirds of them are serving those who are the heirs of salvation, according to Hebrews 1:14. You see that? And so you have angelic hosts blessing and helping you when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So mastering the mystery is coming to that understanding that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you realize, of course, that there is no other way of salvation in spite of the religious confusion, that God has given one way for you to be saved, and that's by his grace through faith in his Son. Yes. Jesus proclaimed that even before he was crucified. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him, he is the focal point of salvation. Whoever is believing in him are the ones who have everlasting life. Yes. See, that has nothing to do with works of righteousness, although it is the product. Good works is the product of salvation. When God takes up residence in you, you can't keep on doing the stuff you were doing. Yeah. If you really love him and you know he is the Most High God and you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you're going to walk a different walk. Because you got to go where God goes, where God leads you. You can't go another way, an evil way, you see? And unless you get out from under the shadow, you got to leave from under the shadow. And so learning to master the mystery, the fact that there are things out of your control in the world, you know, we all know that. We kind of grieve over that because when stuff is out of our control, you know, we got to look around, how am I going to handle this? But the fact is, the Lord is trying to teach you that even in those times, and especially in those times when there are things over your head, these are the times that you have to learn to accept the mystery, that God has applied the mystery of the gospel to your life. He loves you. He's the one who called you. You didn't call him. He was not lost. You were. He called you, brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see? And he's still the one working the work. That's why Paul told the Philippians to work out your own salvation. For it is God who is in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasures. Not that you're doing anything. God put a deposit of righteousness in each one of us. And now it's already there. The mystery is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. That's why I like that song. Christ in you. He's taken up residence in you. You are his habitation. Have you ever thought about that? If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is taking up residence in you. You are sealed, it says, Ephesians 4:26, I think it is there, till the day of redemption. I think I'm on the wrong one there. It might be. I'm not sure there. But Ephesians 4:30, verse 30. Tells you that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, God will give you the Spirit when you believe the gospel that God raised his Son from the dead, that he paid the penalty for your sin entirely by himself. Yes. And then he seals you for the day of redemption. In other words, God puts his seal on you. And you can notice that as we look on here in the psalm. Notice this. It says that basically verse 11, he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. That's a way of speaking of all the evil stuff that comes against you, all the stuff the dark angels bring against you, all the stuff Satan brings against you. You shall tread upon lions and adders, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. They're going under your feet. They might look like they're winning right now, but the Bible says they're going to be ashes under the soles of your feet. And so you need to understand that mastering the mystery is when you're going through trouble and difficult times and it looks like the Satan and the forces of darkness are persevering, you have to realize God has already promised that they're going to be ashes under your feet. Your Satan is bold. Think about it. He came to Jesus and said, if you be the Son of God, make these stones become bread, while he was hungry after 40 days of fasting. See, you know, you'd be pretty hungry. I could probably eat a house after 40 days. About 40 minutes, I'm hungry. So I don't know what it would look like after 40 days. You know, and he says, you know, if you're the Son of God, make that these stones become bread. You know, a little bread, go ahead. You know, you shouldn't be hungry. You're the Son of God. You know, and he says, God, this says it's written. He goes right back to the truth. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. What does he say? That thou shalt not, he says, written, first of all, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the devil continued to be persistent, as we know, as he tried Jesus in every way. Tempted him in the flesh, tempted him by the world and the devil. All these things tell him, I'm going to give you power over all the nations. He took him up a little higher. First says, throw yourself down off the temple. And this very psalm, Satan twisted it. Said, throw yourself down, because it's written that he shall give his angels charge over you, and they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Turned this very psalm around on the Son of God. And Jesus said, it's also written, Satan, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. See, you see that? Because the devil will use a word against you.
Yeah.
We know some people. My wife and I were talking with somebody, and they came out and tried to use the word to justify some sin that was going on. No, God hasn't written anything to justify sin in your life, to say that it's okay for you to do anything that's wrong.
Amen.
See, nothing. Not one word that proceedeth out of his mouth was written for that reason. So what do you do when you hear that? You hear somebody saying that, just like Jesus, take them back to the book and tell them that God says walk in truth.
Yeah.
And that in him is no darkness at all. It says in 1 John 1:5, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. So don't try to bring a dark thing and cover it with the word. You see that? So we're going to trample all those things under feet, verse 13 says. Because he has set his love, you see that, upon me. God loved you first. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. He set his love on you. If you believe, it's because God set his love on you. You see, not because you loved him first. See, we love him because he first loved us. And then he says, notice this, and he says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. You see that?
Yeah.
He shall call upon me. We have the privilege of prayer.
Yeah.
We can come boldly before the throne of grace. That's a mystery that's hard to understand.
Yeah.
How does God hear every saint that prays whenever they call on his name? We don't know that. I can't answer it this morning. But he's omniscient. He knows everything.
Yeah.
He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at one time.
Yeah.
That's something we can't explain, but it's true. So you have to learn to master the mystery and understand God is never too busy for me.
Yeah.
He hears me when I call.
Yeah.
See that? And he said, not only does he hear me, but he will answer him.
Yeah.
And I will be with him in trouble. You're going through trouble? Call upon the Lord.
Yeah.
I will deliver him. See that? I'm bringing you out because I've already promised you the victory. And honor him. Not only am I going to bring you out, you're going to come out way ahead. And the wicked are going to know you belong to me. I'm going to give you honor right in their presence.
Yeah.
See that? With long life will I satisfy him. You see that? And show him my salvation. God had his salvation for us. So this was how the Old Testament saints understood the mystery, walking in the mystery. So we have to learn to master these things because this is real-time, on-the-job training, if you will. This, the ugly stuff coming against you is real. You get a report from the doctor that looks bad, that's real. You know, you get a pink slip from your job, that's real.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these things are coming, and these are real-time things that are coming in your life.
Amen.
See, it's not, and it's kind of an exercise, but you need to understand, under it all, the mystery is God is with me.
Yeah.
He has promised to bless me.
Yeah.
I cannot fail. Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so keep this in mind here. Now we want to go ahead and cruise on in here. Due to personal unbelief, countless millions are lost and are blinded to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore are the mission field. Notice I'm not saying they're your enemies, they're your mission field of those who are able to see by the power of God's Spirit and His Word, since it is God alone who gives the increase.
Yes.
See, now, and I'm comforted by that, because when I go and preach, I don't like leaving thinking, did I say enough? Did I give them enough information? You know, and I never worry about that, because I just tell them the gospel. The Bible says one plants and another waters, but God gives the increase. If they don't get it, it's not my fault. If you don't get blessed when I give you what God said, it's not my fault. You know, you might have a personal obstacle stopping you from receiving it. And I pray for you even after I'm done. All of those to whom I deliver the word. And so I don't lose any sleep at night over it. I can go straight to bed. My wife will tell you that. Instant off. Straight to bed. I'm not worried at all. I don't have anything going through my mind to keep me from resting at night, because I trust the Lord. Hopefully you feel like that. You don't lay awake at night and worry, and then let that endless worrying go through your mind. You know, dwell in Him. Understand that He loves you. That's part of mastering the mystery, that God is going to take care of you. Amen. He slumbereth not, neither does He sleep, the Bible says. He's up all night, so I don't have to be. Okay? So it is such a fantastic privilege to be equipped by God to be able to see His plan, don't you think? Think about that. God has equipped you to see His plan. You know, you hear all this stuff in the politics and stuff going on, looks like it's threatening your well-being. But God has a plan that supersedes all of that. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall rule and reign forever and ever, the word says. So we don't have to worry about that. So to be led and comforted by His Spirit, God does that as we go, so that you are protected from being deceived. You can't even be deceived. If somebody tells you a lie, the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute now, something's not right here. You know, it sends you to find a correct answer, either to your pastor or to the word or into prayer. And you know that's twisted when you hear it. You know, so that's that internal witness of the Holy Spirit that's protecting you from being deceived by the devil, the world, and even your own flesh. Sometimes we are the enemy. We want to justify some kind of thing we're doing, and it's not right. And that by walking in His Spirit and walking by faith, you are mortifying the deeds of the body and being sanctified day by day to the glory of God. That's the way we live. So we're on a course, and mastering the mystery is a good way just to summarize what that course is. You and I are moving more close to Christ likeness day by day. So mastery of the mystery of Christ has become our goal in order for us to become all that God desires for His children, knowing that God shall reward all who diligently seek Him. Didn't He promise that? Both now and in the new heaven and earth, according to His righteousness and grace. God has promised that He will reward all those who diligently seek Him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. See? And so we understand that we must learn to walk by faith, not by sight, Paul tells us in in 2 Corinthians 5. Now, he was blown away, and I just want to close with this. Paul was blown away when he wrote the Ephesians. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Here he is in a jail. He's not in the best of circumstances. He's not in the Taj Mahal or some plush hotel. He's in the prison. But he considers himself the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Why? Because God has him on a mission. He's protecting him by keeping him where he is. He's falsely arrested and put under persecution because of his preaching of the gospel. He says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me towards you, how that by revelation, in other words, God unfolded what I did not understand before, he was the most staunch opposer of the gospel of anybody you ever want to meet. You know, some of the other people didn't even bother to go get legal papers and try to go say, I'm going to rub this thing out. The church has got to go. Paul went and got legal papers. Said, I got to get rid of this thing. This thing is catching on like wildfire, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm not just going to sit here. You see, he went and got legal papers, went to the Sanhedrin, got on his beast, and was going down to stop it. I got to stop this. Bring it to a stop. So he hated the church. He was there giving consent while they stoned Stephen to death. They laid their cloaks at his feet. You see? And now he says, you know, by revelation. Whoa, that was revelation, wasn't it? To turn you around from complete opposition to what wilt thou have me to do, Lord, on the Damascus Road. You see that? Now, he says, going on down to a street called Straight, and I'll tell you what you ought to do. And God began to reveal the mystery of Christ to the person who hated him the most. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me, Saul? You see, and he told him, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. You know, why it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? You've been fighting me, I've been trying to get your attention, and now I finally got you, because I blast you with my resurrection appearance, and now you're on your face in the dust where you belong. I ought to press you down 6 more feet from there. That's where you really ought to be. 6 more feet down from where you are, with your face in the dust, like I put the devil down there. On your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. All the way back in Genesis. Now you down there where he was, and now you say, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, that one you're persecuting. He says, okay, go on down there then, and the church that you hate, they'll tell you what you ought to do. And so he sends him right to the people who he hates. And Ananias was prepared, as we know how that goes. But here he is saying it was revealed to him. He made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now notice this, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, here is the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. In other words, Jews and Gentiles together. On till the period that he calls in Romans the times of the Gentiles. That time is coming to an end, church. We're on the tail end of the times of the Gentiles right now. And the Lord is going to bring the church age to a close sometime soon. So we need to be aware of where we are in God's prophetic plan. We're toward the end of that time. It's been nearly 2,000 years. And that God is accepting whosoever will. There's going to come a time he closes the door and begin the time of Jacob's trouble. That time is coming up. It's on God's calendar. We don't know when it'll be. We don't need to be worried about it. But we ought to be awfully busy. Think about the fact that it says that God's not God's desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. What does that do for us to fuel us to reach out to the people? And that we have this privilege to serve him. See, it turned Saul of Tarsus into Paul the Apostle, and he became extremely busy distributing the mystery of the gospel of Christ into the world. He says, and that's what he marvels about in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. See that? According to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. You know, it was nothing he did. God turned this ship around and got it going in the right direction. I can say that too. You can too if you really know him. Unto me, he goes on, he's marveling because he chose me of all people, the least, the less than the least of all the saints. See, that was this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You and I have unsearchable riches. I think we are doing a disservice to the gift God has given us if we are not mastering the mystery. We need to do that. Something we need to do. Master the mystery. Understand that there are no limits. God has no limits. Because everything belongs to him. He's made it available to you. If you ask, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Ask, it shall be given to you. Matthew says. You know, and so you and I need to be busy in prayer, especially me. I'm preaching to myself here this morning because I got a lot of stuff that I've been seeing stuff dragging me to kind of pull me to the side. But I know who I am and what in the Lord and what he wants me to do. And so it's time to crank things up to the max. We ought to have a pedal to the metal, if you will, for Jesus moving forward, because we don't know how long we have. And I want to exalt his glory as much as I can. Now notice what it says here. He says to make all men see, this is our duty as the church, the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers, in other words, God served the dark angels. Notice that his son has authority in the heavens and the earth. You see that in heavenly places might be known. And you know what else? The church makes it known to the dark angels, the manifold grace and wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access by confidence, with confidence by faith in him. So we ought to be very bold in our proclamation and let nobody put us down, you see. So pray about that what God might do. And I just want to say a closing word of prayer as we wrap up our thoughts here, to help us with mastery of the mystery, you and I. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, for marching orders that you've given us, Lord, in your word. And Father, we ask for just an increased boldness, Father, an increased ability to pray, to call upon you, Father, to give us what we need, Father, fuel our passion for the lost. We ask that you fuel our passion for those who are turning their back on you, God, who do not know you, as Pastor prayed in his prayer today. Lord, help us to reach out and have mercy, God. Realize that all we have been is recipients of your mercy. We haven't done anything so wonderful ourselves, God, that you would call us out of darkness. But it was strictly by your grace, by your mercy, that you called us, Father. So fuel us, God. Give us that passion in our souls, Lord, to reach out while there is yet time and call many men, women, boys, and girls to the grace that is in Jesus Christ, to help them understand that you gave him and that by him alone can they be saved, that you allowed him to be crucified to pay the entire debt all by himself, and that you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, Lord. Yes. And Father, we just bless you, we praise you, we thank you for churches like St. Timothy, Father, who are dedicated to the truth. We ask you to anoint every member, anoint the pastor, God. We just bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, for we know we have a great work to do in a short time in these latter days. We give you the honor today, Father, the praise and the glory. We ask this and every other spiritual blessing in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. Amen. 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 We give the Lord praise. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Mastery of the mystery. Amen. Let's give Reverend Fisher a hand. We thank God for this wonderful preacher of God's word, for what he's done. At this time, we're going to ask the deacons to take